Don't be satisfied with routine poo-tang.
That's it.
That's not what I was expecting, but I think it's what this episode deserves. And that's a really great opening line from Hal's dying father, who gives the most concerning advice to his 9-year-old son. Welcome to the Swamp. It's our podcast. The Swamp is an acronym.
It stands for some whack-ass movie podcasting.
And today, as you heard, that was not Emily or I reading that quote, if you couldn't tell. It is our lovely guest, Joey, who you may remember from earlier this year in January, was on our Cat in the Hat episode. And we did feel morally responsible, not only because you were just so great to have, but we forced you to be a guest on a movie you did not choose, which is really not usually our thing. Like, usually we let our guests pick the movie and it's like something that you're excited to talk about. No, we held a gun to your head and we said, we're fucking doing the live action Cat in the Hat and you're reliving your trauma on air. No questions asked. Which was really aggressive of us, if I might ask. But I do think that you, in turn, have punished us, and I got what I deserved, because you made us watch the fucking atrocity, is that a word?
Atrocity.
Atrocity of a movie, 2001, Shallow Hal, starring Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow. Can you please just, like, why, like, it's giving us a lot to talk about, that's for fucking sure, but what is your experience with this movie that drew you to bringing it to the table?
Yeah, so I think my family, when I was younger, they loved these garbage movies, and so I'd be in the living room, it'd be on, and I'd be like, okay, the same thing with, like, Big Daddy with Adam Sandler. It's kind of like, I just have these, it's purely nostalgic, my feeling towards it. But there was one fateful night in college. I was feeling very vulnerable. I had done all my work for the week, and it was Tuesday, and I really did not know what to do with myself. There wasn't any other event going on or anything. And so there's a bottle of wine, and I was like, okay, well, I'll take the bottle of wine, and let's watch a garbage movie right now. And scrolling through, like, some, like, huge IMDb bank of movies, and I saw Shallow Hal, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, this was real. Is it as bad as it? Well, I mean, when I was younger, I think I was like, oh, funny, haha, funny situation. And I didn't recognize the gravity of it. And then I was like, okay, we'll see if this holds up or something. Sure. Then I started watching it, and I was like a half bottle of wine deep. So I was so vulnerable already, and begin watching it, and absolute ride from start to finish. There are a few parts that we'll talk about. I was sobbing when I watched this. I was broken. I was a shell of my former self. For some reason, it's honestly, it takes, okay, get deep for 5 seconds, and then we'll get out of our bag. It takes a lot to make me cry, because I've been through a lot of personal tragedy. And the fact that Shallow Hal, like, was that 4 or 5 years ago, broke me, it might be a testament to what kind of movie it is. And so then my roommate walked in and obviously was standing there mouth agape and was like, Joey, what? And I was like, Shallow Hal, Shallow Hal, crying.
It's so funny because I got their perspective of this like 2 nights ago or something like that. They're like, yeah, it was absolutely jarring.
I don't know why. I mean, and listen, I'll be honest, watching the same scenes today, I sent a picture to my former roommate and I was crying again.
No!
I didn't think it would carry over, but for some reason, I focused so hard on some of the words that Gwyneth Paltrow said in certain scenes, and it got to me, which is crazy, because your boy hasn't cried in a little while, and the fact that Shallow Hal's coming, Shallow Hal is to me what Marley and Me is to everybody else.
Oh my god.
Still, so, you know, take it.
I was going to say, that statement alone says a lot. So I'm glad. I was going to say, I feel like any movie like we talk about with you is just, you're very vulnerable. You were vulnerable last time. I have a feeling you're going to be pretty laid bare on this episode. Well,
it's
as well.
Because, I don't know, my movie experience, the thing is, most of the time when I'm watching movies, it's to experience it with somebody else. Like, all Marvel movies on their own, I'm not completely fully interested in, but I love hearing people talk about it and being able to talk about movies with them. And so that's how I usually experience movies. There are a select few that for some reason are on like a pedestal in my brain, whether they are the worst movie ever or not. And that will never change it. I'm sure we'll find, I'll be digging back in the brain bank more in the future, and we'll see some other hot garbage rise up out of the pile.
Was this the first time you've watched it since the bottle of wine incident? Okay, all right.
Yeah, and so it felt, and I honestly, I woke up this morning. I wasn't sure when I was going to watch it today. Mm-hmm. I woke up, I was already feeling a little achy from climbing yesterday, and for some reason I was like let's just get this over with, let's watch it right now, and then I'll like stretch.
Did you also watch it in bed? I like watched it in bed this morning.
No, I was watching it, I was like properly watching it like this, like sitting up in my chair like a fucking business meeting, like, oh, Hal is talking, I should listen to him now.
Oh, see, I like watched it in bed and like drank the coffee that's been in the pot for 2 days.
Uh-huh.
So
wait, that's worse though. For some reason, it's like, to me, this movie, if you removed all of the this is such a stupid statement, but if you removed the like switcheroo of what they were trying to do, I think it'd be just a funny little rom-com, little people going on a date and they say funny things to each other. Unfortunately, it's not just that, and there's other garbage in there.
Unfortunately, this is perhaps one of the most problematic movies ever greenlit. For what reason? It starts off not only just being so insanely fatphobic, but then when you get into the nitty-gritty, they somehow manage to insult, like, every marginalized community in some way or another.
It's so funny because when you pitched this to us, Joey, you were like, yeah, this movie is probably, like, the movie that's, like, aged the worst ever. But, like, I don't think it, like, even, like, was that it aged bad? I can't imagine it being, like, well-received when it came out.
I know. Isn't that insane that even back in 2001, people probably watched this movie and they were like,
yikes.
They're like, oof. Oh, my God. I'm not surrounded by only models. Like, oh, this doesn't make me feel good.
Do you think this movie came out pre or post 9/11?
Post, just post, November of 2001. November, 2 months. 2 months post. So, yeah, my opening line was going to be, in the year 2001, the only thing worse to be than a terrorist is a fat woman. Because that is what this movie is. That's the message that I'm getting.
I'm surprised that they didn't put, like, some form of graphic, like post-production of Rosemary like flying into the Twin Towers or something. Like, I feel like that's on the caliber of what this movie was.
The visual gags they did to just show us how big she is. They could have, because she broke two chairs.
It's
in
so
two
funny
separate
that
scenes.
they could have made it. So much more subtle and completely got the point across, but they had to remind you every 2 seconds, just when you were like, oh, Gwyneth Paltrow and Jack Black are having a good time on a date eating a bunch of nachos, and then they're like, you need to remember she's fat. Okay, go.
It's like a jump scare, like in a movie, like, you know, when
a jump scare like this,
faggot,
I just hit the faggot button.
Joey has a soundboard, which honestly, we might have to start like, I might need to get one of these so I can incorporate little into our recordings, because we can't hear them, so Joey is at will going to just incorporate whatever he sees fit, which I love. I love for this.
And honestly, I just got this working today. I'm not very well acquainted with it, so I might hit the incorrect button for what I'm trying to mean. So, you know, I apologize if I hit the Crash Bandicoot woe or the fart when I do not mean it, and I instead mean the F word. So, like this.
Faggot.
But if we want to get into a little bit of a recap before, I mean, I know we've said it up until this point, and we're going to say it again moving forward, but I did just at the top of the air want to clarify that in this episode, we are going to use the word fat, and I just want to state that, like, fat isn't a bad word. Fat is not a bad thing to say unless you mean it in a bad way. Like, fat doesn't have to be an insult unless you mean it as an insult. And so,
and they mean not that we're trying it as to, like, an insult.
Yeah, in this movie, they mean it as an insult. But to just describe the main character as fat, we just don't want anyone to think that we're, like, trying to use derogatory language, because that's definitely not our goal here. It was the fucking goal of this disgusting fatphobic movie. But yeah, just wanted to clarify that we don't mean anything bad by the word fat, because fat's not a bad word. But to recap this fucking crazy movie, Hal, our protagonist, his father dies when he's 9, and his father's parting words to him, as Joey so beautifully recapped in the opening of this episode, was basically, he was like, son, only go for 10s. My whole life, I wish I fucked women who are hotter than your mom.
Do you know what his actual final words were? Like, right before he kicked the can?
What?
It was, hot young tail is what it's all about. And then fucking dies.
And so this obviously left an impression on 9-year-old Hal, because he then grows up to be Jack Black, who simply accepts that he will not fuck any woman less than a 10, or what he perceives to be a 10 by, like, you know, traditional male gaze-y beauty standards, whatever. It's also 2001, so we can get into that whole can of worms. But he basically, him and his best friend George Costanza, Jason Alexander, who just as always is playing George Costanza, is the two of them sort of go out clubbing every night and are like only think that they deserve to, like, fuck whoever the hottest woman there is, and are, like, really shitty and judgmental. But then basically, the TV advice guy, Tony Robbins, gets stuck in an elevator with Hal and, like, puts a hex on him that he only sees people for their true inner beauty. And so then he meets Gwyneth Paltrow and he falls in love with her. But the big kicker is that she's 300 pounds and he doesn't even know it. So everyone around him is like, Jack Black, why are you dating this absolute whale of a woman? And he's like, Gwyneth Paltrow? What do you mean? And then they go through the whole movie and it turns out that she, like, volunteers at a burn unit for children, and that she, like, is in the Peace Corps, and that she just, like, actually is the most A-list kind of person you could, like, kind, whatever. And then he finds that he gets uncursed and sees that she's fat and is disgusted by her, but then takes a minute to reflect and then says, wait, no, maybe she's okay. And then admits that maybe he could be with her. And that's the end of the movie. And they were really trying to do something here with the whole inner beauty is what it's about. They were trying to get a message across, but it is peppered entirely with jokes that are only at the expense of large women. Of, like, she jumps into the pool and the cannonball is so big. She eats a double cheeseburger. Oh my god.
She's not like other women.
It just, like, completely diminishes whatever sort of, like, moral message they were trying to get across here about, like, inner beauty, because almost every time we're supposed to laugh, it's, like, at her. But that's what this movie is about, and it's also just, like, the most fever dream, like, genuinely, like, body horror. Fucking Jason Alexander has a tail, and Gwyneth Paltrow is in a fat suit. Like, Gwyneth Paltrow is fully in a fat suit for the last quarter of this movie, mm-hmm. And it's so just insane.
Don't talk about me, daughter, that way.
Also, I want to clear the air. Did you know that my last name is Shanahan?
When I was thinking of Shallow Hal, I did not remember that your last name was Shanahan.
Wild. So the Gwyneth Paltrow's character Rosemary, her last name is Shanahan, and then her parents are like also important characters, and her dad is just like inexplicably Irish, but like obviously because their last name is fucking Shanahan. Yeah. Which is my, it was just such a jump scare. Literally my last name has never come up in media other than like, Patriots coach. The old Patriots coach used to be named Shanahan. People were always like, are you related to him? And I'm like, no. But other than that, I just changed my last name because of marriage. And now I'm like, it's popping up. It's weird.
I've never even heard your last name in media. So like, that was a jump scare and a half.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. It's not like I've been, you know, plotting... It's not like I've been plotting ever since Cat in the Hat to try to, you know, jolt you fuckers into the nether realm or something.
I think the spookiest thing about the movie, though, was George Costanza's tail. That really came out of nowhere.
At the very end of the film, he basically is like, the reason why I'm so shitty to women is because I have a vestigial tail, which is just like an extension of your tailbone. And he shows it. He pulls it out.
And then gets involved in puppy play.
And then immediately tries to fuck a woman who's like really into her chihuahua. So yeah, he's like, no one, woman will ever love me. And I'm like, I know it. Maybe the... You know, the furry community wasn't thriving in 2001, but I'm like, you can get on the World Wide Web and find people who will be very interested in your tale, mm-hmm. George Costanza.
And what is the puppy woman into?
Sucking dick and cock.
I just played the Tati soundbite.
Except it's sucking vestigial tail.
Sucking tail and woof.
Like, that was, like, the thing that, like, looked way too real for me, too. I was sitting there, I was like, you could tell me that, like, what's his name? Jason Alexander? You could tell me that that's, like, actually on his body, and I'd be like, yeah.
What was up with the hair? I don't get why the hair Wig. Was thrown in there when the tail Wig should have been our
yeah,
attention.
Yeah, right? It was like, they were like, look over here, wait!
And then he claws at his head, and it's... So, I don't get... After he claws his hairline, and then you can see that there's a visible mark left. So he had some product to color in his hairline. But yeah. Then, so the thing is that later on when he is in the car with a few of the other Peace Corps people, he's sprinkling something on his head.
Yeah.
Were those coffee grounds? I really wasn't sure what was going on there. And it could have been grounds.
I guess they just didn't have Rogaine back in, like, 2001, so I'm not sure exactly what the method was there, but it was low-tech, for sure.
I'm willing to bet that there are some outtakes, like, some scenes that didn't make the final cut that are about, like, him being insecure about his hairline or something that maybe, like, then circled around and made more sense with some visual gags that we just didn't get the setup for. At the very end, because it suddenly just became, like, visually relevant with absolutely no built up.
Okay, so because of you talking about outtakes, what if the tail wasn't originally in their vision? What if it was just the hairline, and when they got to, like, the end of production, they were like, wait, it doesn't make sense. Like, he needs to have a bigger flaw than just a bad hairline. And so that after they, like, filmed all the hairline scenes, they were like, give this boy a tail.
Which, that is a real thing that can happen to people. You can have a vestigial mm-hmm. tail. It just means that your tailbone just develops a certain way in the womb. It's super rare, but usually they just surgically remove it when you're a baby, and it's not a huge deal. Mm-hmm. I think some people don't get it removed, but, like, do later in life because it's kind of uncomfortable. But it's not a huge, like, I think it's not that huge of a surgery to get it removed, but he said that his was, like, next to an artery.
Wrapped around an artery. Shut up. George Costanza, what do you know about anatomy? I'm willing to bet not much.
But the fact that this movie took the time to, like, use the medical term vestigial tail to describe this and make sure that we knew that that was a real thing, but didn't manage that the character with spina bifida doesn't use a wheelchair and just crawls around on all fours. Adults with spina bifida live normal, happy lives. They're just in fucking wheelchairs. They make this one side character crawl around on all fours. And they're like, oh yeah, he just has spina bifida. What the fuck was that? That was where this movie, I was like, oh, so not only are you doing the whole fat phobia thing as our sort of main plot line, but you're gonna pepper in just some of the most ableist shit I have ever seen on my TV screen.
Dude, that shit was fucked. The burn unit, the baby burn unit was like such a jump scare.
Okay, but why did he, oh my god, when they were talking, when Rosemary was talking about playing the kissing game with the kids, why was Hal's first reaction, where's the bottle? What? You want to play spin the bottle with these children?
Facts.
Hal, I don't think you thought this through, fucker. Oh my god. Oh, something that I was kind of confused about, because I didn't catch this when I was a kid. The head nurse of the burn victim unit. So yeah. When we first see her, she's old. And then when we see her at the gas station when they're going on the biking trip, she's old. Like, that was the same person, right? So the old woman in the nursing in the nursing unit was the young, quote, hot woman, actually. Because when I was younger, I thought that the head nurse in the burn victim unit was just the old lady, and that this other person was somebody completely different, that like they just put their Hal lens on. And so when I actually understood what was happening, I was like, okay, well, they meant to do something there. And I think I get that now.
Yeah, no, it felt like half-assed, because it was like Hal wasn't there when you like saw her when she was like in her like Halification, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just her and Gwyneth Paltrow in the car.
Yeah.
Mind you, Gwyneth Paltrow looked like how she like looks to everyone else, you know what I mean? Like fat and all that stuff. And then this woman was like young and hot. It was, like, so weird. Like, I didn't understand. I was like, where are they trying to go with this? I'm like, which, is this, like, the real version of her? Or is this, like, the old version of her? Like, the real version of her? I didn't quite get that.
Yeah, and it was like, why did they selectively choose who to put the Hal veil on? Because, guess what? Hal's looking at George Costanza. I guarantee George Costanza doesn't look like George Costanza. I bet George Costanza looks like a fucking gremlin.
Yeah, maybe it's like people he didn't know before he got cursed.
Because he knows George Costanza looks like George Costanza, and he's like,
yeah.
Wait, that's interesting. So then the guy that hypnotized him still looks like a hot man with banana fingers, then.
The lore behind this magic has no legs to stand on.
I wanted to ask both of you, if you had the power to do hypnosis on this scale that's able to penetrate so deep into the human psyche, what would you use it for?
This is like capitalist tyrant of me, but I feel like I would use it to, like, I would sell it, right? I'd be like the number one psychotherapist in the tri-state area, and I would charge for, like, you know, like weight loss therapy, like people who get weight loss hypnotized into thinking that kale is delicious or whatever. I would just charge fucking couple grand, be like, yeah, you love kale now, bonk, and I would make a ton of money off of it. I would not use my powers for good. I would use my powers so that I could afford a boat.
Yeah, okay.
I was gonna say, I think it would be purely selfish, honestly.
Okay.
Like, I probably would not be on... I couldn't be, like, some, like, guru or anything like that. That's just not who I am. I'm just gonna hypnotize people into listening to my podcast.
Shit, that's good, too. Can I hypnotize myself into, like, not having depression? Maybe I'll charge a lot for the people who want to, like, do the kale hypnosis, but I'll just, like, I'll cure, like, depression, anxiety, alcoholism. Oh, okay. I'll do that on the side.
So you'll do a bunch of pro bono on the side. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I would run around and tell people that they hate Toby Keith. Because
so you are using your powers for good, then.
Yeah, and I'll let you know why. What year was that? Time is not linear. Maybe something like a nice 2016, 2017. I went to a Toby Keith concert and I kept tweeting at him the entire time. I hate country music. I just went there because friends were going there. And I just need to be clear about that.
Of course.
And I kept tweeting at him and his team the entire time that he was my father and that he's missed out on many child support payments. And not one interaction back. And I mean, I tweeted at the man probably like somewhere around 20 to 50 times when he was on stage. And I've been carrying that, like, atlas for a while. And so I would do that. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. No, I like that. You put a lot of thought into this one, I can tell.
It's like that movie where everyone forgets who the Beatles are except for that one guy.
What I think movie is that?
You could use... It came out not that long ago. It was just like a really absurd plot to a
yeah,
movie.
It was my wild. John Lennon was alive still. It was crazy.
Whack. But I think I would like use it to pull a sick prank like that. Like I would make someone like forget, like, I don't know. I'd make, like, a really important celebrity journalist, like, forget who the Kardashians are, and then just, like, watch them crumble.
Or you could run up to Nancy Pelosi and be like, your quesadilla, honestly.
Bro, she's already halfway there. It's not a stretch.
Yeah, that's... I don't think we need hypnosis.
give it 2 more years. Could you imagine being cast in this movie, though? Like, for real. Like, imagine, first of all, the fact that Gwyneth Paltrow, like, took on this role, like, makes me really question. Like, I have no idea, like, where she was in her career yet. But it's, like, really interesting that she signed on for this. But, like, imagine getting cast in this movie, and they're like, yeah, you're gonna play, like, the ugly version of these people. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think clearly in some cases they, like, put, like, fake teeth on people or, like, did, like, modifications to be, like, oh, you're ugly now, like, you have, like, gray teeth. Like, I think that they definitely supplemented, but I know, at least for the Gwyneth Paltrow character, she wears a fat suit. Like, they didn't hire a fat actress to play her. They put Gwyneth Paltrow in this insane fat suit.
I'm shocked that Gwyneth Paltrow didn't, like, break bones in that.
And so, I guess she... Before filming, they decided to do, like, a social experiment method acting moment where she wore that fat suit out in public for, like, a day so that she could really immerse herself in the character. And know. And she in an interview was like, yeah, I thought it was going to be funny. Like, at the beginning of the day, I thought it was going to be funny. And then walking around in that, like, fat suit and that makeup, it wasn't funny. And I'm like, at that point, you should have fucking turned around and ran and not did the movie then. Like,
yeah, really.
If you felt so, like, weird about it in your, like, you know, test run, you probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, they should have gave her, like, FBI torture training like Jim Carrey in the Grinch suit.
Stop. She probably already signed the contract and they already had the fat suit made, No turning back
for
then.
Sure. And I guess the directors of this movie, I think the Farrelly brothers?
The Farrelly brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, however you say that. They had done, like, Dumb and Dumber and There's Something Checks About out. Mary. So those were, like, really, like, blockbuster hits. So I know both Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow said that was the reason they said yes to it without even really looking at the script was because of the, you know, late 90s success with them. They're like, oh, I'm going to be in, like, another blockbuster comedy. That's going to be, like, it for me.
What's the rating on, like, IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, what's the, how much did it gross overseas, huh? $141 million, $40 million budget. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, that's an insane budget. How much do you think they spent on just the fat suit? Rotten Tomatoes, like, personal score is, like, 50%, and the audience score is 45%, which is wild in itself. Like, this is, like, a bad movie.
I was expecting it to be way less. Way less. And going on Letterboxd and reading some reviews of people who truly love this movie... So, I just cannot understand how you cannot think that this is offensive. People who are like, a beautiful message that deserves to be heard. I'm like...
6 out of 10 on, like, IMDb.
Oh my god. Oh, okay, honestly. One of the things that I thought was so visually assaulting in this movie was in the beginning, Jack Black's fucking, like, jiggling in the club where, like, the... It's okay. So, I was just jiggling in a really weird way. That's what was happening. Looking at that, I felt scared. And if I saw somebody listen, let me preface this by saying, when the lights go down, you know, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm probably dancing in a real ugly way, but this wasn't dancing. This was something else. And it really hurt. And it happened a few times. this gyrating
deck. It happened a lot.
It was like his whole body was a shake weight.
I don't know. Like, it's tough because, like, I remember, like, the first time I watched, like, School of Rock. Like, it's really hit or miss for me, like, Jack Black's sort of style of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
School of Rock, I didn't like it at first. We rewatched it for the podcast. I liked it more. Like, his style of comedy and, like, all of his little goofs in this, I fucking hated. I hated, like, all of it. And, like, mind you, it's so funny because sometimes I feel like the way he talks, I'm like, I talk like that. But, like, it was so jarring. And, like you said, like, the gags and, like, the way he moved and everything like that, it just made me want to, like, curl up and crawl out of my skin. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm molting. Like, I had to molt after watching this movie.
Why was he considered this? Why, when he had a meeting with Mr. Shanahan, was he, like, revered to as this young boy genius? Like, Hal's a dumbass. This is not realistic.
I think the implication there was, like, after Rosemary took him home for the first time and he was acting like no one was fat, and they were like, this is crazy. This man must be, like, just the greatest man alive, because who could ever love my disgusting fat daughter? And so Mr. Shanahan was like, oh, if this strapping young man is willing to court my daughter, then he simply must be CEO of my company, which just makes no sense. But
Oh, something that I want to comment on. Okay, so when Hal and Mr. Banana Hands get trapped in the elevator, we immediately pan to Mr. Banana Hands sitting in the corner, coat jacket off. Hal has his pants off. Why, when you're stressed out in an elevator that has stopped, is Hal's first reaction about, oh, I gotta let the boys breathe?
It's getting hot in there. And that man, Tony Robbins, is 6'7". Yeah. I'm sure he runs hot, you know?
Yeah, and Hal Barron is like, damn, I gotta let this cock breathe in front of Apollo right here.
He doesn't start sweating from his, like, forehead or his, like, armpits like a normal man. It's just the balls. The balls start first. That's what he
Hey, mate, that's what he should have got hypnotized to not do. He would have been like, Hal, you're so shallow. Keep the sweat in your balls, boy.
Oh my god. Improve your dance skills.
Oh my god.
Stay dry. I guess so. Tony Robbins is an actual, like, TV advice guy, like, from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, he had all
is
these
that true? Roles,
and he wrote all these books. Yeah, he wrote all these books about, like, self. He's like a self-help guru guy. And originally they just had sort of like a witch figure put a curse on him. But then they were like, well, let's reach out to Tony Robbins and, like, see if he's willing to do it, because that, like, would kind of make sense. And so they showed him the script and he said no. Or they asked him and he said no. And then they're like, well, can you just read the script? And he was, like, moved by the script. And so he, like, memorized his lines and he, like, showed up and he did his lines. But he's like, I want to be me. You know, I want to be me. So can we just do this scene, like, the way I would do it in real life if I was giving this man advice? And they were like, okay, Tony Robbins, like, sure. And so the whole, like, grabbing his head and, like, yelling the words at him and, like, all the, like, dialogue, all of that is, like, improv from Jack Black, because this man was like, this is how I would actually try to cure a man who has this situation.
That's amazing.
Which is just so weird to look at. Like, yeah, I would grab his head and hex him into thinking.
So if Tony had
friend, all the Banana Hands lines, I'm sure those were improv too, because Jack Black was just like,
yeah. So if Tony hypnotized somebody, and so I mean, because you said Tony was moved by the script, he probably thought that, you know, this was a very virtuous thing he was doing for our man, Shallow Hal. Then why the fuck would he be so okay with George Costanza being like, my friend's liking the uglies and the fatties. You gotta help me, Tony. Because the job, like, the whole job thing, I feel like, and listen, I might be overstepping my boundaries, but I'm trying to get into Tony's shoes. I feel like Tony would be like, whatever, he's living a better life.
For real.
I don't think that the economic portions of this movie matter that much. I really don't.
I agree. I think Tony would see past, like, the fact that, like, a job is, like, just a job. Like, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, that's not the most important thing in life. Like, a job is far from the most important thing in life, even though it's entirely necessity or necessary, even though I don't want it to be. But, like, you know what I mean? I feel like he would have that same, like, mentality. He's like, there's other jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you remember when George Costanza was bragging about how much he made in 2001? $29,500?
Oh, my God, yeah. That's about, my jaw dropped hearing that.
In today's money, that's about, like, with inflation, that's, like, about something like 51 or 52K. Mm. You're in New York City. And I know that that was probably meant as a joke because they're fucking idiots.
Hold on. Hold on. Are they in New York City? Because I couldn't clock where they were supposed to be this entire movie. And the very last scene where Gwyneth Paltrow carries Hal into their car, the license plate says North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Then I have no idea. The whole time, for some reason, I thought they were in Central Park at some point. But I guess I'm really off.
No, I just, like I had no idea this entire movie, like, where it was supposed to take place. And that was, like, the only, like, detail that I got, and I was like, yeah, North Carolina kind of seems like it adds up in this setting.
I don't know a damn thing about North Carolina.
No one has an accent, though, in this movie. Imagine the struggles that Mr. Shanahan must be going through as an Irish American in South Carolina.
North Carolina, that thick of an accent? Oh, and why did... Okay, that's silly. I feel like there were a lot of jokes in here that They threw like one-liners in sometimes that didn't make any fucking sense in relation to what else was going on. And so I thought it was so silly, like the one-liner when they were talking about they were like making fun of each other, and Hal took 8 seconds for to come back with a joke. And I thought that was so weird. Like, there were so many other things going on. Why did they need to throw in 12 seconds of George Costanza and Shallow Hal shooting the shit and George Costanza being like, 8 seconds is too long for a comeback. What are you doing, Hal? Like, what like what place does that have in this movie? I'm so, like, it just felt, those moments felt like it jolted me out of the movie. And I was like, oh, I'm aware of Shallow Hal right now.
That's what was jolting you? That's what was jolting
Darn, you? I cry to Shallow Hal. It's not a normal reaction going on here at any point, so.
No, I definitely think they obviously just got George Costanza and were like, well, they got Jason Alexander and were like, well, you can just be yourself and sort of do what you do best, because that's clearly working. And then they probably just told him, like, just show up. I'm sure he didn't even get lines. They were like, just show up. And then he and Jack Black probably did their little comedic shticks back and forth. And they're like, great, Rennie is all of this.
Yeah. Have you watched Seinfeld?
Not enough to say yes, but I've seen, like, the important episodes. Soup Nazi, the finale, you know, ones to be culturally in the know.
I've tried recently. Just to, you know, I feel like there are certain things like The Sopranos that... to understand references, it's like, even if you don't like it, you gotta push through and get it. Seinfeld has been very hard. I have been watching it maybe a few episodes every, like, few months, which is a really, really staccato. And it's insane to say, but so far, George Costanza carries that show, which is kind of sad. And honestly, here, I felt like he was doing similar. I think I'm going to give George Costanza the MVP award of Shallow Hal.
I was going to say, this is the second movie that we've covered with Jason Alexander in it in, like, the last month, because we just did Pretty Woman, and he was also, like, this main side character sort of thing.
Do you think, is he part of a crew? Like, you know how Adam Sandler just has his crew in every movie with him? No. Or you think he's a floater?
Like, this movie and Pretty Woman are, like, the only two movies that he's, like, significantly done. But, and, like, Seinfeld.
Yeah, it's gotta be the Seinfeld rep that, that they know him from that. And they're like, well, you can just be that guy, right? If we bring you in and we put you in just this certain role, like, you can just be that guy for us. Because that's what happened both times here. And these were both, I mean, Pretty Woman was the 90s and this was 2001. So it was, like, definitely, you know, pretty, Seinfeld was very culturally relevant, so I'm sure they thought they were adding some sort of, like, nice pop culture thing to their movie by just having George Costanza be there.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Which, like, he's definitely plays an important role in this movie, clearly, and, like, also, I feel like he's just this, yeah, he's the same in every role. He's very much typecasted in the three significant things he's done, and I don't even know if I can call this significant. Significant to me.
I can.
Actually, yeah, I was gonna say significant to Joey.
But also, George Costanza, a long-toe-phobic. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh my, that man is not into.
Which also, raise your hand if you raise your hand if you if your second toe is bigger than your big toe.
But he was okay. He was over exaggerating so much because what his original statement was. What was it? A half an inch bigger than a big toe, or was it even two? It was one of those. But both of those are such a crazy over-exaggeration. Guess what? That's like a normal middle toe. George Costanza, I'm putting it out there. Fuck you, buddy.
She's balanced as fuck, is the thing. That girl, you're not pushing her over.
Which, the implication was that they had fucked, so she knows about the tail. And she still was into it, so he should have held on.
Nah, I feel like he only hits it doggy, like, because he's... nervous about the tail and because it's like on brand.
He might just slip it through the pants and the P zipper.
Yeah, the boxer. Yeah,
that might be it.
Interesting. You think he keeps it? Because it's tough because it's like right at that line of like where the shirt ends and the pants start. You know what I mean? It's like he could either keep the shirt on or the boxers on. You know what I mean? Definitely through the hole though. It's not like he's like pulling the boxers down. That's like too risky.
Maybe he was able to trick her because she seemed like she was like straight from France. So maybe he was like, he's like, this is how Americans do it, babe. Right through the pisser hole.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something like that if I had to imagine a real situation.
Nah, I think he's got her flipped over ass up the entire time and that's it.
She's like, can I turn around? He's like, what? He's like, that's not how we do it here. Shut up. Stay there.
But Joey, can I ask you to be vulnerable and just like share like why this made you emotional? Like what about this?
Yeah, what is it?
I'm gonna try to find I hope I wrote the quote down. Okay, so it was when Rosemary and Shal are having their first really real moment when they're outside his apartment and he keeps trying to persuade her to go up and she's like, no, that's not a good idea. It will not end well. And she was saying something to the extent of, listen, you keep calling me pretty. And while you might think that's true.
I know what I am and I know what I'm not.
Yeah, I know what I am and I know what I'm not. It hit, that hits home every, so two moments in Shallow Hal. That's the first one. Just because I feel like I have been in a lot of situations where people have been really surface level emotionally towards me. And like, as soon as they say some silly shit to me that I know I'm not, I'm like, ugh, like at least such a disgusting feeling with me. And so I don't know why, as soon as she says that, it resonates with me so much. And I start like, that's not when I sob. That's when I medium cry. Just because, you know, she thinks that this thing is way too good to be true. And she thinks that she can never let herself have true happiness. And that, you know, she does all these amazing things and she thinks that she can only be a servant for good in the world and she can't have a personal life that is actually, that has depth in it. And I think that is so fucking sad, even in this garbage world of Shallow Hal. And so that's the first time when I get teary. The second time is there's that misunderstanding when Hal goes out with Jill and Jill tries to hit on Hal and Hal's like, no, listen, it's not happening. Which honestly, go Hal, because it could have gone the way where Hal was just like, you know what? Rosemary's fat. You're beautiful, Jill. We can go for it. So that's one point I'll give to Hal. Probably the only point, if anything. And then when he calls Rosemary outside and when she answers her phone, oh, it's like I could see through her eyes the inside of her self-esteem completely breaking and tearing apart when she's like, is this a joke? Are you serious right now? I forget what she actually says, but just the pure disbelief that she's in when Hal calls because of what she has seen. And for me, I feel like that was the true breaking point for Rosemary. And I just, that's when I begin sobbing, because she deserves so much. And although it's not true how she perceived what Hal was doing, because of all the stuff she's been through, she's led to believe that it is the absolute truth that she is seeing, that this guy that has been so good to her has just been lying the entire time, presumably to get a higher position at her dad's company. And now he is attempting to get some hot piece of Punani behind her back.
So you were truly moved by Gwyneth Paltrow's performance, it sounds like, because these are moments where she as a character actress is really committing to the role, because you're describing two moments where somebody who doesn't feel desirable is, you know, showing that in a way that, you know, resonates with the audience. And I'm sure that's really tough for Gwyneth Paltrow, considering she's like the pinnacle of 2001 beauty standards.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I don't know Gwyneth Paltrow, so I could be completely wrong. From what we, from the vibe of Hollywood during the turn of the 2000s, I mean, still ridiculously sexist, misogynistic, what have you. I honestly feel like a little bit of Gwyneth Paltrow's true feelings came out through Rosemary, because shut the up.
No. Please, say more. The floor is yours.
Because, you know, I feel like there are so many, you know, traditionally skinny, beautiful model women in the early 2000s and before that, until the beginning of movie time. Always, you know, even if they were this, you know, the skinniest people ever, I feel like they also had this image in their mind that they were still never enough. And listen, no, like I said, I don't know anything about Gwyneth Paltrow.
It's called having an eating disorder.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that Gwyneth Paltrow really brought that up in her role as Rosemary, you know, instead of being like, I'm fat, I shouldn't have good things. I think that she was just saying that she didn't have confidence in her own self-image. And I felt that come through. I know that's a pretty deep cut. Whatever. I can have feelings.
Gwyneth Paltrow, if you're listening to this, we would love to get you on the podcast.
And your pussy candle smells bad.
She... Goop has me gooped, honestly, but she does say that she kind of
gooped and gagged.
She has said that this movie is like kind of a stain on her resume, and that she doesn't feel good about it. Yeah, she doesn't feel. She said that what'd she say, that it was like a mistake or a disaster or something.
Yeah,
that, you know, this movie isn't popular enough, I think, to really like have the actors have to address it. Per se, like, it's not like Shallow Hal was the most problematic movie of the 2000s. Jack Black, what do you have to say about it? Like, I don't think anyone's really thinking that, but in an interview, she was asked about it, and she was like, yeah, like, that was kind of that wasn't a good one. Just because
I think it has a lot of good. If you took really choice snippets out of it, I'm talking like 6 seconds each. If you took those and cut it together into like a 10-minute short film, it could be fine. Because
we're transitioning from Dara's 90-minute movie, Dara's 90-minute cut, to Joey's 10-minute cut.
Yeah, my 10-minute cut of pure just, oh my god, this is fantastic. I'm learning so many lessons. This is a beautiful movie.
Here's my question: are you keeping the burn unit kids in the 10-minute cut? Yes or no?
Unfortunately, not.
Yeah. Oh, you brought it up earlier, like the choice way of like who he sees that gets affected and who doesn't, because we're led to assume that not every person is physically altered to him, that it's very specific. And it's not just people he wants to fuck, clearly, though, because it happens other random time, and it's mostly with women he wants to fuck, mostly. But otherwise, like, there are just some
The Peace Corps guys.
Yeah, the Peace Corps guys, just random choice incidents. That's why I said the lore of this magic makes no sense, but the burn unit kids, that came out from left fucking field and makes... Also, who's letting him play the kissing game with these kids? No, get him out of here. And then that one scene that's supposed to be, like, the emotional break breaking point of the film where he sees Cadence and is like, who are you? And she's like, it's Cadence. And he's like, oh, what I thought was a, like, quote unquote, healthy looking child is a burn unit kid. And that's when he, like, really kind of comes to terms with, like, the fact that what he's been seeing hasn't been. That's when he can finally accept loving Rosemary, is when he sees, like, a literal child burn victim. Which is fucking insane, because before that, we're supposed to believe that he gets the curse reversed, he can see Rosemary for in her actual body, and he is coming to terms with that he does still really like her, but that he is conflicted, and he wants to get the curse put back on him. He's like, I like her, but can I please see her as being Gwyneth Paltrow again? Because that would really, like, clean things up for me. And that's the end part of the movie that really gets me, is I'm like, no, he didn't learn his lesson, because once he came to terms with, like, I really do like her, but, like, can she please be skinny again, please? Like, just for me? Can I please just have this for me? Oh, that part I hated. And then he has to see a burned child to come to terms with, like, well, maybe it could be worse, you know?
One part that I thought was so on the track to being woke, but missed the mark in such a god-awful car crash burning fucking way, was the trans woman that was the hostess of the restaurant. Because, okay.
Who's, like, the first person that he sees, like, once he has the curse reversed.
Yes, yes. Which is also just another punch in the fucking front tooth. Oh, my Lord. And you, so it's like, so their message then is that this trans woman, their message is that this trans woman at heart is a woman, which, okay, I can give, like, a half a snap for that. But the way that they go about doing this, that they have to make, that they have to, like, you know, make this trans woman as close to a man as possible in their eyes in this movie is fucking, is blasphemous. It's like, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah, every time I didn't think this movie could get worse, they somehow just picked another individual to just, like, absolutely rake their head through the muck and curb stomp the shit out of. That's like, it's already being, like, misogynistic, number one, then two, fatphobic, then we get into a ton of ableism, like, a ton of, like, equating thinness with health and, like, wellness, which is already ableist, and then just specifically calling out different, like, he has spina bifida, so he crawls on all fours. Like, what? And then, yeah, and then we get a pepper of transphobia, you know, and that, just to finish it off, like, that's what, literally at every turn, I'm like, well, this can't get worse. I'm, like, clenching my jaw enough that I'm sculpted like fucking Timothée Chalamet now. If you need if you need a jaw exercise, watch Shallow Hal and just clench for an hour and a half.
And it's insane how they couldn't... They couldn't stop at being fatphobic. They had to say, oh, there's a lot of ugly things in this world. Like, what was the thing that the skinny Peace Corps guy had?
Oh, like psoriasis.
Psoriasis. Yeah. They had to be like, oh, also, if you have psoriasis, you're an ugly duck bitch. Like...
Yeah, no, honestly, the way that they're like, oh, if you have a health condition, that's ugly.
Yeah.
Just
how far
so
do you think this goes? Do you think that if you were, like, a gorgeous person and you had, like, a mole on, like, on your rib, do you think you'd be so specific as to, like, Photoshop out that mole when you look at it?
Well, it depends if you're a good person or not. If you volunteer for the Peace Corps, you get rid of that mole. But if you're like, not, you know, you're not good, then your mole even gets bigger.
Why is it always the Peace Corps? And it's like, I was gonna say it's like 2000s, but like it's more than that. Why is it always the Peace Corps to be like, they're a good person because they are in the Peace Corps? You know what I mean? There's other ways to be like a good individual, but it's like they're in the Peace Corps.
Yeah, you can, like, work at a coffee shop and be a good person. Shut the hell up. And where were they going? It started with a K.
Kuwait or some
it
shit.
Was not Kuwait.
I feel like was there a B in it? I feel like there was a B at some point. But also, Shallow Hal will not survive. And that's the end of it. Shallow Hal is dead at the end of this Peace Corps mission. And I've never been more certain of anything in my life.
I like that you refuse to just call him Hal. It's the first lassie for me is Shallow Hal.
There are some people in my life that I need to say the two words for. The two, several people.
Yeah, it's a firsty lasty.
In the beginning of the movie, when when Hal is first talking to what was the first woman's name that got that quote beautified in the cab?
Oh, just the one. Yeah, the one in the cab who he was like, "You must be a model," and she was like, "I'm taking care of my sick grandma."
Yeah, when he when they were talking about Boston, he looks at her and just goes, "Ah, Boston Bean Town." What is that? Is that a coffee? Is that a coffee reference? What is what's
no. No, I have no idea where Boston starts with a B. That's the only thing I can come up with. Like, unless like, and like we're from Massachusetts. Like,
Boston
yeah.
Bean Town.
Okay, Boston baked beans was a specific thing in America. Boston was the first city to have trade to get beans, and we in Massachusetts had molasses. So beans and molasses are like, you know, like baked beans.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bush.
Yeah, like Bush's baked beans, yeah, something like that. That originated in Massachusetts because of, you know, molasses and trade accessibility. So Boston baked beans, like baked beans, started in. That's why it's in town. Like even before America was America. This was even before like the Revolutionary War.
And we were still colonies.
People, yeah, even when we were in the colonies, this was Bean Town. Okay, yeah, so it's very old.
So even if that's true, if Shallow Hal is living in. If Shallow Hal is living in North Carolina, how does he have this depth of knowledge?
Everyone knows of a Boston Bean Town. I feel like that's like the... You say like Chicago's like the Windy City.
I didn't.
Really? No, Chicago's the Windy City or something like
Chicago
that?
Chicago has the actual... Chicago has the actual bean, dog.
True. This is the truth.
Like, I have never... I don't think I've ever thought of Boston as... Bean Town.
Can somebody from another part of America or like even international, can any of our international listeners clarify if you were familiar that Boston is known as Bean Town? Can somebody weigh in on this, please?
I guarantee it's 0%.
I was gonna say, I'm literally from like, we're literally like from like an hour outside of Boston, and I have never, I don't think once heard Boston referred to as Bean Town.
Another really silly thing that I want to comment on. So obviously the absolutely asinine scene of Rosemary jumping in the pool and a cannon goes off and the water goes everywhere. Okay, the thing I would like to focus on, the grilling 4 feet away from the pool. Who grills at a public pool a fully loaded propane grill 4 feet away from a public pool? You're the demon, sir. You're the one that needs to die in this film.
I like that it's his first concern was his meats were soaked, and then it was his son who ended up in the tree.
Well, I think that's true of all of men. It was grilling is number one.
Sucking dick and cock.
There we go.
So let's get into our sucking dick and cock segment where we're going to talk about
sucking dick and cock
and kill. And I think, do you disagree that our three main characters are Rosemary, Hal, and George Costanza? That's
exactly.
I completely disagree.
You disagree? Who would you say are our main three characters?
Oh, the trans woman hostess, Mr. Shanahan, and Jill.
Our main three. We're talking main three now.
Okay, so I personally think that this is a no-brainer. Both George Costanza and Shallow Hal fucking suck, so I'm not marrying either of them. So clearly I have to marry Rosemary. Yes. She's going to be away a lot in the Peace Corps, and mm-hmm. I'm not joining her because I'm not cut out for that shit. So we're going to have to make it work long mm-hmm. distance, but honestly, she seems great. I think we'll make it work, you know. I'm going to... fuck George Costanza, because I actually just don't think I could fuck Shallow Hal, because at least George Costanza is, like, working with some insecurity mm-hmm. that he's gonna, like, put in a little extra work, whereas Shallow Hal just, like, actually only thinks he can fuck women who are tens because his dying father told him to do so, and that does not gel with me, so I am going to kill Shallow Hal.
What's his insecurity?
Nothing.
What's his insecurity?
No, Shallow Hal. Nothing.
It should be his dancing.
That's fucking crazy. It should be the...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the it's the unspoken.
No, I totally agree with you, Dara. I'm obviously going to marry Rosemary. I'm going to kill Shallow Hal. And I'm going to fuck George Costanza out of pure curiosity, because I want to see if his tail is, like, a sensitive spot.
Penetrable?
No. I want to know, like, you know how, like...
Can you control him, like, Remy?
It's like how people go crazy, like basic baseline. Like people are like, yeah, my ears are super sensitive. I want to know if his tail is super sensitive. You know what I mean?
Right as he's about to bust, you grab the tail.
It's the most intense orgasm he's ever had in his life.
Why don't you just ride the tail?
Why don't you just ride the tail?
I will.
Fair enough. I'm curious. I don't think I'm that curious.
Honestly, that man is built for group sex. He has two appendages.
Stop. Okay, are we having like an orgy with us three and George Costanza?
Fuck Mary orgy. Wait. Mary kill orgy.
Yeah. What about you, Joey, from those?
Well,
three?
Obviously Joey's riding the tail.
No. So I am just gonna flip-flop it. I'm going to fuck Shalahau to put him in his place because I truly believe...
You're going to dominate the hell out of Shalahau is what I'm hearing.
So listen, I often think that receiving penis really puts things into perspective. It humbles you. And maybe Shalahau needs to get humbled.
Okay. No, I see where you're coming from. I like this.
But I think at this point, Rosemary is so miserable that it might be just good to put her out of her fucking misery. I'm going to kill her. I'm going to marry George Costanza because I think he's the only person that we see realistic character development from. I think that George Costanza changed in a reasonable rate over the movie. And I think it would be fun to have a life with a man who overcame such a large barrier.
Would you encourage him to get rid of the fake hair? Because that's another barrier.
I know. I would say, I would say, okay, well, listen, because I think it's coffee grounds, if it kept getting everywhere in the house, if it was getting all over the, like, every time he shook his head, if the coffee grounds got everywhere, I'd be like, George, my honey, my sexy little boo bear, you need to rethink this. And there are other options we can take. If it's not that, and it's like if it's like actually a dye that sticks in, you know, do whatever makes you feel the best. I am not one for a hairline. I'm one for a smile. And guess what? George Costanza's little pearly whites. Yeah. I'd bite those suckers. So.
Okay. Does anyone have any good food and drink suggestions? Because mine's.
I have one good drink suggestion. I don't have a good food suggestion, but I'm going to tell you because I texted Joey ahead of this and I said, what are like the themes? Because I was going to try and be on theme before I decided to watch this at like 8 o'clock in the morning today. I said, what's a good theme for like drinks, because I was gonna try and like do a whole thing, and he said oversized. I said okay, I'm gonna run with that, and I'm gonna tell you to play Edward 40 hands with this movie, and so you drink, you get a Colt 40, you get two Colt 45s, and you strap them to both of your hands, and anytime this movie is insensitive or in bad taste, you drink. And so you'll have them off of your hands by at least the second half of the movie. And then you eat, like, hot dogs. Like, you make a spread of hot dogs, basically. And it's not, it's like chili dog, like, the classic, like, relish, probably, like, five hot dogs at least.
Emily, why are you coming for my fucking gig? Because I wrote down chili dog. I literally had so.
Sorry,
I asked. I can't.
You need a spread. You need like, it's like a charcuterie board of hot dogs. Like you need like five different like hot dogs and their toppings. Like one with a little bacon and cheese on top of it. Oh,
I can't entirely take credit for this myself because I asked Henry what he thought. He did not watch this movie with me, and nor has he ever seen it. But I described the plot to him in roughly, you know, 3 minutes or less. And he said, oh, well, you eat a chili dog and you drink a martini because that's Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
And so, but also, like, similarly, you could go the other way and, like, drink a PBR, but, like, eat a shrimp scampi, you know? So you do a 10 and a 2. Ooh. You do a 10 and a 2, right?
What speaks to both of you more? Is it hot dog and a martini or shrimp scampi and a PBR?
To me, I would pick the shrimp scampi and the PBR.
Yeah.
Shrimp scampi and a PBR.
Yeah, for sure. I'd rather have my food be good and my drink just be okay, because I like to fucking eat. But I think also just, like just what would be considered, like, traditionally, like, fancy or upscale with something that's considered to be, like, lowly or, like, not desirable. Mm. So you eat, like, a cosmic brownie, and then you have, like, a Tom Collins, you know? So just two things that just don't really feel right together. That's what you do for this. What about you, Joey?
I would, because I'm a
faggot,
I would drink a Bud Light Lime, a tall boy.
I love a Bud Light Lime.
Throughout this movie. And table nachos.
Stop it. Have you ever done it? Have you done it? Or is this just
I haven't. No, I have not. I've been watching a lot of people do it. I think we should
do
it.
Joey, we're going to do it when you come over.
Can you imagine little party table nachos? I don't care what these gremlins have on their hands. I'm ready to be disgusting, because I think that the acidity of the Bud Light Tallboy Lime will offset the sweetness of the cheese and the table nachos. And I think in the theme of quote unquote fat in the movie Shallow Hal, we need to have, like, oversized table nachos that are absolutely fantastic that we can, like, engorge.
Right, but also, you should never feel ugly or guilty or bad about eating. Eating is a human thing, and you need to eat to survive. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, fundamentally, that's, like, a problem that a lot of people face, but also, like, accepting into your life that, like, food is fuel, and that good food making you feel good physically and mentally. Like, the fact that, like, when I eat a piece of chocolate cake, my serotonin levels rise, and not feeling guilty about eating, not to turn this into, like, something, I don't know, more serious than it is. I think there's something really, like, maybe not empowering, but just, like, it's just nice to eat food that is maybe what would be considered, like, unhealthy or fattening, but if it makes you happy, like, yeah, fucking eat a carbonara pasta and fucking feel awesome about it, because feeling guilty about it is only gonna make you feel worse, but feeling happy that you ate something that tasted good is even better. And so that's, like, also, like, as far as, like, diet culture, food culture, like, fat phobia, all of that shit, I think eat something what you would consider to be, like, gluttonous, and don't even fucking feel bad about it. Like, yeah, run that shit. Because in the past few years of my life, I think that's something I've accepted. It's, like, don't feel guilty about eating food that fucking makes you happy. Like,
wow. I was going to say, that is one thing that I feel like a lot of people, not even, like, in this generation, in every generation, like, us as a culture, like, everyone needs to, like, unlearn. Like, food is a good thing. Like, I promise you, like.
But moving into what would you follow this movie up with, I have a few loose suggestions. They're not good, but based on the title of this film, we're going to take the two parts, Shallow and Hal. Shallow, in the shallow.
Faggot. You get.
So you get Shallow, A Star is Born, and then you get Hal, which is the new Timothée Chalamet Netflix original film, The King, where he plays Henry V, who's Hal. So you do a Shallow and a Hal, and then a Shallow Hal. So that was really stupid of me. And then my actual genuine suggestion is, I couldn't really think of a ton of pieces of media that have a fat protagonist who isn't, like, because usually the fat female character is, like, the best friend, or sort of, like, the laugh-off joke character. So I'm, like, what is, like, has, like, a fat female protagonist who is, like, confident and serving and, like, feeling confident in herself? And the only movie I can really think of that is Hairspray, where our character is, like, traditionally considered, you know, like, in the mainstream to be, like, a quote-unquote, like, a fat woman, but she is, like, confident and feels good about it, and, you know, maybe that's something she does kind of overcome or struggle with a little bit, but ultimately, she's comfortable in her body, she's fucking good at what she does, and she
is
just a bad bitch. So I will say that Hairspray, if you're feeling, like, fatphobic and shitty after a Shallow Hal, then you could feel good with Hairspray. So that's my suggestion.
There's also, like, a way better fat suit involved with Hairspray.
And it's for John Travolta. Yeah, for sure.
I totally love that suggestion. I'm going to tell you, okay, So I think that this movie was probably better received in like 2001 than it is now. I'm going to have you flip it for a movie that I don't think was as well received as it should have been. It is more well received now. And I'm going to tell you to watch The Bling Ring.
What? Because that is just, what is that?
So there was, okay, it's starring Emma Watson, like early A24 movie. It's about this true crime story, basically. Crime is a loose term. It is crime, but like it's not like true crime. It's but it's basically about these teenagers who went and like broke into like a ton of celebrities' homes, like in like the early like 2010s and everything like that, or well 2000s, 2010s, and everything like that, and would like rob the hell out of it. Like they'd like go to Paris Hilton's house and like take all of like her jewelry, not all of her jewelry, but like they take some of her jewelry, and like they go to like Adam Levine's house, and like because like these celebrities like didn't lock their homes up because they're celebrities and they live in gated communities and everything like that. So this like actually happened and everything like that, and I feel like it didn't get a lot of the praise that it deserved when it came out. And I think it's a damn good movie and it's very entertaining. Honestly, Emma Watson's best. So I'm gonna tell you to watch The Bling Ring.
Love that. Love that logic, too. Hitting deep.
What about you, Joey?
I think that you should give yourself whiplash and watch Zombieland with Woody Harrelson afterwards.
Ooh.
Because in Zombieland, there are no themes of Shallow Hell. Nothing that you take out of Shallow Hell can be converted into Zombieland. And that's why I think you need to watch Shallow Hell for the, you know, 12 seconds of sincerity, and then watch Zombieland to snap yourself out of it and realize that you need to be nihilistic, and then you can convert back into real life. And I think you need to take those several steps in order to be, you know, a functioning person of society.
Finally, Joey, you wanted to ask us how we sincerely felt about this movie, and I felt the segment for it was our rating out of 10. Is this, you want to know, like, my true thoughts? Is this...
I want to know genuinely. So, obviously, taking it for what it is garbage. If you were able to pinpoint on the real aspects of it, Not like the garbage that they attempted to frame it as. If you were trying to, you know, home in on the pure message and nothing else, how did that make you feel?
So if you're asking me if I thought that they were doing something good with this, I think you're right. I think they thought they were spreading a positive message. But I think that they then took that message and took every wrong step after that. Because I thought this movie was vile and putrid. I will never watch it again. And I resented you for making me watch it in the first place. Because it's just one of those early 2000s comedies that didn't age well, and as a 2022 viewer, I feel no, like, I didn't think I gained anything from being like, oh, look at how shitty the media was back in the day. Look at how shitty we were to women. Look at how shitty we were to, you know, fat people, disabled people, trans people, just, yeah, every turn of the movie, I was like, oh, it's getting worse, and really just reminded me of how the early 2000s were so just blatantly awful to people, and how, I think we've come a long way since then, but not too far, but even if you just look back in recent future, like, the way we just openly, on, like, magazine covers, we're like, Drew Barrymore is a fat slut. Like, what? Who said that was okay? Like, that just the weight culture in the early 2000s is so gross, and that just kind of reminded me of how awful people are. I did not like this movie, but I think I do always appreciate, now I have it in my repertoire, that if it comes up, I can talk about it. You know? I like having cultural knowledge, but I don't really... If this ever comes up again, I'll be shocked. But I'm glad to have it. But
it will, and you're welcome.
But I'm going to give it perhaps the lowest rating. So we don't really do, like, half stars or anything on this show, but I am going to give it, like, less than a one. Like, I'm going to give it, like, a half of one, if I can, out of 10. Because I did give it, out of, on Letterboxd, out of 5, I gave it a half star. So that's equating to a 1 out of 10. So that's my rating.
It's so funny because I went to, I don't know, I think I was like logging probably the Minions movie that I saw the other day, and I saw Dara's rating of it, and I knew I was in for a ride. Yeah. I mean, I feel like she covered all the bases. Like, it is not a good movie. It is pretty fucked up. I don't think, like, to me, like, at least, like, I feel like there's a lot of problematic movies that, like, at least, like, I can get, like, a bit of a, like, a smile out of, or, like a hard, like, exhale through the nose kind of thing. I don't think I even got that out of this movie. I will tell you what, it's nice to actually see Gwyneth Paltrow, like, in a role, honestly, because I think the only other thing that I've really seen her in is Glee. So, like, maybe that's just me, or maybe I just can't, like, think of
Emily.
Anything.
Have you never seen the David Fincher film Seven?
I actually haven't, no. So, I'm not gonna give it the full, like, half star that Dara gave it. I will give it a hard one. Joey, for you, I want to give it more, but like, I think half of that rating comes from the fact that I know this means a lot to you, and the other half is the fact that it's George Costanza and the last name Shanahan. Other than that, I was like super put off by of course everything, but like Jack Black in this movie, like I feel like I can always like kind of like love Jack Black, and I fucking hated Jack Black in this, you know what I mean, which is hard to do. Like, he did his job very well because I fucking hated him. I'll give him that. So maybe a star, a 1.5, because I know Jack Black put his all into this. You're the man of the hour.
Okay, listen, a lot is gonna go into this consideration. I think that Jack Black did an outstanding role in playing somebody unlikable.
Yes.
And so for that,
I totally agree.
For that, I'm gonna bump up the rating, and I am going to give a point for George Costanza getting horny about a dog loving woman at the end of a movie. I thought that was very progressive.
Will you give the burn victims a point?
No. This movie has way too many stereotypes to be a good movie, obviously. A lot of things that are kind of racist as well, like our man Peace Boy in the Peace Corps. He's just a Hawaiian somewhere over the rainbow guy.
For real.
Which they completely, you know, they took that trope and they threw that into that one guy, and that's fucked up. Although this movie has made me cry, I think, 4 times in total, it's not a good movie. And that's why it gets a 3.09.
3.09. I can accept that. And honestly, Joy, I think you're really brave for admitting that that you can...
It's not a good
that
movie.
You can enjoy, or at least, you know, relish in something that's objectively bad, because I find myself often of things that are objectively bad affecting me the hardest. So I think you're so brave.
I was going to say, I feel like
coming on the pod with this.
Yeah, usually, I was going to say, Dara's so right. I'm usually like a huge apologist for the movies that are bad that I love, because I want to justify it. And yeah, you are brave because you're not trying to justify it, but if this is your truth, you're really speaking your truth.
Thank you so much for saying that.
And I think if we can learn anything from Shallow Hal, it's that this meat sack that you're in as we're orbiting around the fucking sun is just love yourself, don't fucking take shit from anyone, live your life, don't be insecure, and enjoy the things that you enjoy, and don't be apologetic for it, you know? Don't apologize for existing and taking up space and being a person, because... That's what
exactly.
We can learn
from Shallow. I think that you should fuck everybody that you think is ugly.
I'm just gonna start fucking people in hopes that they have a tail. So,
Joey, you've been a pleasure. This is me wrapping up the episode and just saying thanks for coming on. As always, I am sure we'll have you on again very soon. You're a delight. Always a pleasure to have. Always just, you know, being open and honest and vulnerable with us here on the pod, which we don't always, you know, we don't always get that from our guests. So
I was gonna say, I don't think I've ever been as vulnerable on this podcast as Joey has been on this one.
And listen, each one of you, brings something so fucking special to the table, huh? Maybe
faggot.
A faggot soundbite. And I love, you two have such special energy and chemistry with each other. It is an absolute pleasure to be on here whenever. Listen, I love looking at everybody's comments and viewing everybody's questions about the episodes. So throw them out.
Yes.
And I would love to view them. It's a fucking pleasure coming on here. I'm so glad I was able to torture you two pieces of doink shit when you tortured me previously. And listen, as we grow even closer, I'm sure you will learn about movies that I hold deeper in my vaults. And, you know, we'll get there when it comes time. But for right now,
We're going to have to do a, I've talked to a lot of people about what we should do. And I know we have not done a horror movie, anything at all. And I know you are a massive, massive horror So we will have to, I mean, you can co-host for the entire month if we do it. So
stunning. So like I said before, send us in what your thoughts about the soundboard were, because I would be willing to invest in a little one of those for the swampy gals if y'all liked it, but also don't, you know, if you didn't like it, say that too, because I might get gratuitous with it, you know.
Just remember that I have gotten this 2 days ago and I do not know how to use it very well. And so, sucking dick and cock. Just remember that I'm a novice at this, and
faggot
noise. Just remember that they could probably use it better than I can. I've probably pressed like maybe 12 buttons throughout this whole podcast. Remember that they can probably use this better and more relevant than I can. And so put that into your consideration when you're thinking about commenting if they should get a soundboard or not. And guess what? We're going to end with a fart noise.
Oh, stunning. But Joey, just know that people don't come here for poise or professionalism. As always, we
appreciate. They come for pussy and porpoise.
We appreciate your listenership. As always, we're continuing with it's our podcast August, where we're just doing whatever the fuck we want, hence this fucking chaotic episode. I think we're gonna have more guests coming up with some more fucking crazy movies, so keep your ears peeled. We love you all. Links in the bio to all our social media. Send us DMs, movie suggestions, theme suggestions, chocolate or vanilla, all that good shit. And we love you, we appreciate you, and goodbye and good night.